Hey, what's up? Welcome to WOD Ministry Podcast. I'm Chris, and I'm here with Jordan and Dan. Luckily, all of us are here today, and, you know, we can give you a more, you know, complete answer to the question today. So this is actually a really good question that we got today. So this person has spent a large chunk of their life serving people in one sense. And the question is, how do we transfer into a different aspect of serving in a different capacity according to where we are in our life right now? And whether it be physical sense, mental sense, or even a spiritual sense, you know, we go through life in different stages, and how we serve is going to be different in every stage of our lives. So we're going to discuss a little bit about how to make that transition and what, you know, what would cause that transition.
Mm-hmm. And the second part of the question too, Chris, wasn't the person like, how do you know that you're hearing from God when it comes to serving others too?
Why don't we just read it? Let's just read it.
Okay. So a couple of podcasts ago, you talked about ways of serving and sometimes not knowing how to serve. For me, I've always served in a physical way. For example, taking care of his mother, whatever those needs were as she was going through health issues. It was driven into this person at a young age that there is always something to be done. Now, as I get older, the harder I push myself physically, the more my body falls apart. Trust me, I know what that's like. How does one search and move from one way of serving to another? How do you know the man upstairs is speaking to you?
Okay. Jordan, do you want to tackle the physical part of it? Because I think this is kind of like your wheelhouse.
Yeah. Hey, whoever this is, come join CrossFit. No, that's an easy answer, but I'm being for real. I think one thing that happens with people is that, you know, sometimes, you know, as we get older, we just start to feel the wear and tear of the body. I mean, listen, this is what happens when, you know, you're born into a sin nature, right? The body deteriorates and it dies. You know, that's kind of the byproduct of sin. And so what I try to encourage people to do is, a lot of times what happens is that starts to happen with people, and they, you know, they start to do a couple things. One, they start to compare themselves to the old version of who they used to be, right? So your mind is saying that you're still, you know, 18 years old, and your body's telling you a different story. And I think one thing that you can do, and one thing that everybody should do, and I had a conversation with a lady the other day in my wife's cold shop who was asking about the gym, and she just asked me, you know, is it okay if she weightlifts? And I think one of the biggest things in the answer that I give everybody is, everyone should be weightlifting. Everybody from your kids all the way to your grandparents should be weightlifting. And that is just to combat the natural wear and tear of the body. And so I think one thing that people can do, and whether you're going to join a gym like mine or not, is start to be really aware of how you're feeling. And you have to start to actively combat that by doing some sort of physical fitness to some capacity. And I think it's vital, not only for people emotionally, but also physically. If you can just start to wrap your head around the fact that the way you're feeling is most likely not going to change on its own. And it's like, hey, time is going by anyway. If time is going by, how am I going to spend that time? And you have to kind of think about that. It's like, listen, I can either sit here and passively watch myself, you know, deteriorate, which happens to all of us, or I can get up and try to actively combat that to the best of my ability. And, you know, hey, listen, there's, and sometimes the wear and tear is just people have physically demanding jobs. That's completely understandable, you know? So again, not knowing the full background, I just know what I know. And that is, you know, when you start feeling those physical, that physical deterioration, you start feeling that happening, that's usually a sign. It's a physical sign, but it's also, you know, that was, you're created to feel that way. That might be the man upstairs being like, hey, it's time to start taking care of yourself, you know, and prolong that for as long as possible. So you can carry on, Dan. Get to your...
All right. No pressure.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's also true. I mean, the fact is I forget what age, and maybe you guys can help, but I think it's somewhere around the mid to late 20s, rather than actually getting stronger, your body starts to lose strength. Actually, like, that's the point where your physical body starts to die, as depressing as that sounds. So yeah, you have to be active, but you even see it with pro athletes. Most pro athletes hit their peak in the mid to late 20s with their bodies, maybe early 30s. If you're, I'm thinking of more like, of course, I'm going to bring up hockey, or you even look at NFL players or something, like their bodies are at that point where they're kind of at their prime. Now, if you look at something like a marathoner, it's actually more like 40, because it's not just strength at that point, it's like endurance, right? So it depends, but at some point in time, your body's going to start to decline. And so I think very practically is, like Jordan was saying, with weightlifting, CrossFit, combating that physically. And then there's going to be a point in time when you're combating it, but you have to just come to terms that you can't do what you used to do. It's like that country song, I ain't as good as I once was, right? You just got to kind of embrace that.
Kind of sounded like Creed, honestly.
Sorry. Everything goes back to you. Not just heard. Sorry, everybody.
Honestly, but you made it sound better.
He's still doing it.
Okay, just a funny thing. We were in the gym the other day, and Jordan was playing Creed, and it was like during the intro, and I started singing, and like with the echoes in like the gym, I forgot who it was. They're like, I thought that was actually like the recording. It's like, no, but so there's going to come a point where you do have to accept that you're not going to do what you once were. And for me, I mean, I still run into that all the time. I'm currently training for a marathon, and I just have had to accept the possibility that I'm not going to run the way that I did 10 years ago. It's, you know, I ran like a mile on average, a minute 30 faster than a mile now, and just kind of accepting that point. But then there's a part of the question of like, how can I transition to serving differently? And I think that there are plenty of ways that you can serve other people by not doing everything physically that you used to be able to do. Maybe it's not, you don't serve physically as much or as hard as you used to, which is totally fine. And just knowing your limits, feeling your body, letting your body tell you, give you warning signs. God's wired us that way too. If something hurts, then you have to listen to it. Is it a burning sensation or is it a sharp pain? Like, what are you feeling, and how can you step back? But really, I run into this too with older generations. Now I'm talking and about folks who are like in their 70s and their 80s. You know, they look back and see their glory day, and they're like, I don't really know what to do, especially if they're in blue collar jobs their whole life. So they're like, that was physically demanding. I don't know how to help. Well, you've gleaned wisdom for decades that somebody who's in their 30s or 20s or 40s don't know. So investing in people by just offering your time and your mentorship is a huge way that you can serve other people. Maybe you're still really sharp mentally and you can serve in different ways, like helping people with trying to problem solve or helping people. I'm just thinking of some people really need help with finances or needing help to navigate different issues in life that maybe you have experience with that you can serve in that capacity. You know, and there's also, this is me talking too, I like to do things solo quite a bit. I like to be able to just go and do something. I typically don't ask for help unless I absolutely need it. But one thing that I found is like asking for help sooner in order to help somebody else is, it's always better. Mm. It's always better to be able to do that. you know, with on boxes where it says team lift, it says team lift for a reason, you know, except for when it's like, I don't know, I don't want to say a specific weight, but you can easily lift it yourself and that's fine. But yeah, there are so many ways that you can serve beyond just your physical capacity. And the other thing too is, let me encourage whoever wrote this and for anybody else, like Jordan was saying, it's a natural part of the fallen world that our body is not going to be the same as it once was when we were younger. And so letting God be creative and guide you in other ways to serve, which we can touch a little bit on real quick, and then Chris can offer some insight too. You know, hearing God is a big question. It's like, well, how do I know God is calling me to do something? I think some very simple tools to be able to answer that in is, one, does it align with scripture? And you see everything in the different ways people serve throughout scripture from the beginning in the Old Testament until the closing of Revelation. You see spiritual gifts, you see physical gifts, you see, you know, natural gifts with our minds or whatever the case might be. And so knowing yourself and how God has wired you is really important. And then looking at scripture and saying, hey, is this in alignment with scripture? Is this in align with also the character of God? You know, for example, this is an extreme one, but if somebody is very physically strong, it's not in the character of God to toss a boulder at somebody just out of, you know, just because you can. You know, if you get the sense of, yeah, God's going to tell me to toss this boulder at somebody, don't do it. Highly not recommend that. And that's an extreme example, but you look and you say, is this loving? Is this kind, gentle? Walk through the different fruits of the Spirit and ask if it's in alignment with that. And then the next step is, there are things that are good to do, and then there are things that God is calling you to do. And oftentimes those things that God is calling you to do overall will be life-giving to you. It would also nourish your soul rather than having to try and work harder and harder to make it so it's nourishing for your soul. So it's going to be in alignment with that. And the last part is, don't be afraid to test things out. You're never going to know unless you take that initiative to try something. And even if it's like you go and try to serve for something, and I'm just using church for example, right? Let's just take church. And you're like, you know what? I could really serve on whatever team. I'm just going to shout out the facilities team, right? You're like, all right, I like doing some physical labor and I have some experience with it, but I'm going to see if this is actually life-giving to me. I would encourage people to say, okay, I would like to serve on this team. I'm going to try it for 3 months and see how, if this is where I want to be, or if this is where I feel like I can serve in this capacity. And a lot of times it's through that experience that you get confirmation or not. So just try things and just be honest with being like, I'm just going to try this out. I'm limited commitment here. Going to try it out. I'm going to give this time to see if it manifests. And this might be where God is leading me to serve in this capacity.
Yeah, I think that's so important. I know one of the things that I'm most known for saying is that God is able to make himself known through the process of basically calling us to do things that are beyond our power. Now, I want to kind of expand upon that. There is, you have to make sure it's, you know, God's calling you into something. But again, like piggybacking off of what Dan said, God isn't calling us to do things that are destructive to ourselves, that are going to wear us down. And I've been in that situation, and I have done things that, you know, God calls me to do, but I may be doing it inappropriately to the point where, you know, it's affecting me in a negative way. Maybe I'm approaching it in my way and just kind of doing the whole fake it till you make it. God is not asking us to do that at all. And we have to realize that God isn't necessarily calling us into full fruition of a particular calling as well. Maybe we're only called to do, you know, one aspect, or kind of like what you said earlier, working together on projects is a huge thing. You know, even if it's something we can handle by ourselves, God would much rather us do it in community anyway. So, I mean, it's being honest with yourself and spending the time with God and spending some time with in prayer with others to discern God's calling and to make sure it's not something we're forcing ourselves into. Because I know for me, you know, pride can really get in the way of doing some amazing things. And I think I do have a tendency to push myself too hard, to have higher expectations of myself than other people have. And I think that's just, God doesn't call us to hurt ourselves or others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that one of the biggest things that Chris just said was just spend time in prayer. I mean, I think one thing that I do continuously every single day is I just, you know, and my prayer looks a lot like conversation. You know, I just talk openly with the Lord. And one thing that I always ask is, you know, Lord, how can I be of service? Like, what is my mission for the day? What is my mission for the week? What is my mission for the month? What is my mission for the year? Lord, what is it that you're calling me to do? And I just ask him to make it plain, you know, make it plainly seen. And I've found that in doing that repetitively over and over and over again, just by the action of being aware that I'm asking for that, it's making me look for it with my eyes open, to the point where I feel like when things come up, I'm like, that's a God thing. And I think Dan is very similar in that way. I think Dan's really good at recognizing when it's a God thing, when it's like, man, I think the Lord led us here. I think this was a Holy Spirit driven situation. And I think that just comes, but I think it's a practiced skill, right? You have to kind of, you know, I think you have to actively pursue it a bit. And so my advice would be, you know, to do that, to actively pursue what it is that you're looking to do. And you may not even know what that is. And then the other thing is, like, you know, like Dan said, you know, sometimes you just got to put yourself out there and try stuff. You know, sometimes it's a trial and error thing. You may not know, you know, and you may be surprised at what's really nourishing. You try it and you're like, well, this is completely out of my wheelhouse, but man, is it really feeding me? It's really giving me life to do this. And I think that those things take time. And we were talking before the podcast was on, we were eating lunch and, you know, and I'm kind of speaking to everybody, but I think I'm particularly speaking to men here. You know, I just, as a man, I feel semi-qualified to talk to other men, but, you know, I think men like to have purpose in whatever it is that they're doing, whether it's their job, whether it's, you know, their relationship with the Lord. They like having a mission. They like having a purpose. It's fulfilling. It's just ingrained into our DNA. And so I think when we start to lose a bit of ourselves and our purpose, and maybe it's because of a physical ailment or the fact that our bodies are falling apart, that's a really difficult place to be mentally. I mean, we see it. I see it in the gym. You know, if somebody's used to doing something and then they get an injury, you know, or they get hurt and then they can't do what they used to be able to do, even if it's temporary, you can just see that they have a sense of defeat. They lose that sense of purpose, and it's hard to recalibrate. It's hard to recalibrate and figure out, well, who am I? Mm-hmm. If I can't, who am I even? I don't even know who I am. If I don't have this, and I think that's difficult. And I know that because I think all three of us have been there multiple times and we'll probably be there again. Moments in our lives where you're like, who am I? I've completely lost who I am. And you know, that's a difficult place to be. Now, luckily, we know who we are. We're sons of God. We were created in His image. We're saved by grace, and that's our North Star. So that never changes. Mm-hmm. You know, that never changes, knowing that I will always be loved, and I will always be looked after. And that's who my identity is my identity is in Christ and in Christ alone. And if I can hold on to that and actively pursue who I am in Christ now, might look a little bit different in 20 years when I'm incapable of doing some of those things. But I just think it's important to, you know, actively pursue it. And then just have a bit of an open mind. I think that one thing that, you know, I always say is my father always told me, he always thought that he was going to go into ministry, kind of like I am. He thought that he was going to, and he led worship. So he did. I don't want to discredit that, but I think he thought he was maybe going to go the pastor route, maybe open a church, maybe do something along those lines, missionary work. And it never turned out that way. And I think he openly admitted to me that it was a struggle for him. He thought that his life was going to go a little bit differently in that regards, but something happened is he realized that the line of work that he is, he's in construction, he's a project manager. One of the things that he does in his life is he uses his job sites as a ministry. That's his, that's what he does. You know, it's like he has an opportunity every day to represent who he is in Jesus Christ and to bear his fruits on the job site. And he said it took him a while to recognize that, but now that is completely what his calling is. And like Dan always says, like, God's creative. Like, He's a creative God. Mm-hmm. Like, I think we put ourselves in this box where we think that only ministry and only serving looks a certain way, and it doesn't. It's like, God is so much more creative than that. So much more creative than that. And so to hear my father kind of talk about those ups and downs and those struggles, but then realize like, wow, I have an opportunity to just minister and guide and be a leader to these men on an everyday basis. When you start to look at it like that, your life suddenly becomes a lot more purpose-driven and a lot more rewarding. And so I've always tried to look at my life that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in fact, I'm going to interrupt, but in fact, that story directly correlates to how I started running the gym. That story he told me came on one of my trips to Virginia. We were sitting in the car together and he was telling me about it. And when I got home from that trip is when I actively started to change how I was in the gym and who I was and how I treated people and the things that I was willing to talk about. Mm-hmm. And share.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I was just going to say, like, we need people, like people who are apprentices of Jesus everywhere, including the marketplace, including where we're at. So a couple more things, I guess, popped up while the conversation was going. One is not only ask for help, but also ask for mentorship. Or if there's somebody that you can trust to be able to be like, hey, I'm thinking about serving in this way, and that you trust enough to be able to help you and guide you, do that, because it's so much better to have that connection piece than going in alone. So if you want to try and serve in a new way or feel that you're gifted in a new way and you're kind of nervous with taking that first step, find that person who would be a good individual to guide you into trying that. And I know that for where I'm at still now, and I'd say I'm pretty into this whole pastoral ministry thing.
You're still testing it out. We'll see. We'll see if it sticks.
Is I surround myself with Mary and I call it our village.
Yeah.
So it's our mentors. It's our people like Superintendent Bruce and our bishop, and just that support system around to be like, hey, like, help me continue to develop.
into whatever capacity I'm serving. And that might be a little bit more advanced, but it never hurts to have more people in your corner to be able to mentor you and be honest with you and see how you can grow. The other thing for guys, I think that's hard is the F word of failure.
Yeah.
People, like guys in particular, are afraid to fail.
Yeah.
And all three of us, I could say, are pretty there. Like, we don't want to fail.
Yeah.
But getting to a point of embracing, if something doesn't work out, then that just means that God is leading you in a different way. Or, you know what, you tried and you had good intentions and that's, you put yourself out there. That's okay. Cause you can just, let God pick you back up. One of my favorite lines from Batman, which I'm a huge Batman fan. When I was four, that's all I went by was Batman, not Dan, was in the Dark Knight series. Alfred goes up and asks Bruce when he's fallen into this cave with bats. He says, "Master Bruce, why do we fall down? It's so that we can learn how to pick ourselves back up again." Mm-hmm. And I think that when it's wise, it's very wise. It's about, personal resilience. But even more when we're apprentices of Jesus, it's allowing God to show us how to get back up again.
Yeah.
And the fact that God's grace, it picks us back up and sets us on a solid rock in Psalm 40 when he was in the deep mire. Whatever David was dealing with at that time, and God picked him up and set him on a firm place to stand. That's what God desires for us every single time. Maybe something doesn't work out, and you'll know more next time, when we're talking about serving or hearing God's voice, you'll know better next time. Like, and holding things loosely, but also holding things confidently in the sense of having that tension there. Mm-hmm. Being like, I think that God is leading me this way. And walking into that being like, I think that's this way. But then after you experience it, if it's not, then it's like, okay, God didn't lead me this way. And that's okay. Let's, maybe I'm sensing this might be the other direction. So
yeah,
let me say this. If we're going to use the word fail, failing doesn't make you a failure.
Mm-hmm.
Your identity is not in that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that something did not work out the way that you thought that it might. And it's like, okay, well, God's still calling me to move forward and serve in a different way. Let's continue to seek that.
I mean, I think that failure is not only important, I think it's imperative. I think that it's imperative for a number of reasons. One, it builds resilience. And then two, it allows you and it builds that ability to fall back on God mm-hmm. every time. And I mean, I have failed more times than I care to admit.
Mm-hmm.
And I could probably name more of my failures than I could my successes.
As most people in leadership. Yeah.
And I could tell you how I feel. I could tell you the emotional state that I was in, what it brought on. And I try not to wallow in it for too long, but it's a good point of reference for me when I'm reflecting on things.
Mm-hmm.
Because one, it gives God the glory. It really does. It gives God the glory when I look back at all those moments in my life where I tried something and it didn't work. And I'm just like, man, he's so faithful. Like, he's so faithful in everything. Even in my worst failures, even when I really screwed up, even when I tried something and it didn't work out and I doubted myself and I didn't want to pick myself up or I didn't want to move forward, it's like there he was mm-hmm. every step of the way. Mm-hmm. And so
I think there are a couple, I'm going to break this down to some basics. If you're struggling to find where you are to serve, I would suggest you go back and spend some time reading through the New Testament, and you'll find there are a few basics. To love God, to love people, and to share the gospel. And I think if whatever you're doing kind of fits in those guidelines, whatever capabilities you have, I believe that those are the guidelines that keep you on the right track. I know one of the most difficult things as far as pastoral care is spending time with people as they're going through the process of passing, but those have also been the most impactful moments of my life where those people have actually served me more than I think that I was able to serve them. And across the board, one of the things that people talk about during those periods of their life is the things that are most important to them. And love is honestly the number one thing that people will talk about. Sometimes the regrets of people they wish they had loved better. But you never hear people say, you know, I wish I had done more. So I don't think it's like the physical aspect of serving that's honestly the most important thing. You will impact more people's lives by sharing the gospel and loving. Mm-hmm. And honestly, there is nothing that holds you back from doing that. Even on your deathbed, you are able to serve people in the most impactful way. And I just think that maybe whoever you are, you just need to go back to the basics and find ways to serve people in your daily life, doing the things that you're already doing and doing it out of love and doing it for God and others. Maybe it's something, you know, as simple as, you know, going to get your daily cup of coffee. And that ends up being one of the most impactful serving moments of your life. So I guess that's my biggest advice would be to do everything you do, everything that you're capable of doing out of love and out of sharing the gospel.
Yeah, sometimes that's a good point, Chris. That's a really solid point. Is maybe serving is one of those things where maybe it's more of a mindset shift. You know, we were talking earlier, we ordered Chinese food, and the lady at the local Chinese place, she always comes out and gives every customer a hug. Mm. And it's a little jarring for a minute, like it throws you off. But I'm just thinking of that really small gesture that she does on a daily basis. Like, what a beautiful thing that is. She just comes out and she shows people physical affection as her way of showing you that she appreciates you being a part of her community and her ability to be able to serve you the food that they made. And that's a small thing. So maybe when it comes to serving, it's not necessarily about what you're doing. It's about the mindset that you have with whatever you're doing. And maybe sometimes serving just looks like you taking a moment out of your day and be like, Lord, thank you for putting that opportunity in front of me. Thank you for allowing me to go fix toilets or clean this bathroom. Or thank you for that conversation that I just had with that person. Like, maybe it's just that mindset shift of instead of looking at it like, well, I wish I was serving in a different way, like thank the Lord for all the ways that he's showing himself and working through you to any capacity. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then also, you know, to this person, whoever you are, I'm definitely going to be praying for you for sure. But, you know, if you live locally, if you're a part of the church, and I'm not, you know, we don't push this too much in the podcast, but, you know, I feel a little led to push you, you know, maybe come consider trying the gym out. Come and talk to us. I think you'd be surprised at what CrossFit does. Is the physical part is just the side effect. But what you do is you're putting yourself in a room with a bunch of people who have an ability to bring out usually the best version of yourself. And so, you know, I love going to classes and I love being a part of the community because I'm around a bunch of people who are a lot better than me at a lot of things. And I like not being the smartest guy in the room. I am when it comes to CrossFit, you know, that's just my forte. But when it comes to other stuff, there's a lot of people that are just, they bring out a lot in me that I didn't know that I had. And they challenge me in a lot of different ways, you know, and I mean, everybody from Dan and Chris pushing me to do things outside of my comfort zone that I'm not super confident about just that little nudge from people and putting yourself in a room with people who are all kind of like that, that sometimes will drive you to experience and show and realize gifts that maybe you didn't realize you had and maybe serve in ways that you didn't think that you even you were capable of serving. And sometimes it just takes putting yourself in a room full of people to bring that out. Mm-hmm. And CrossFit does that, you know, at least in my experience, it does. And I'd venture to say for most people in our gym.
Yeah. So the whole mind shift thing actually reminded me of this little book that is actually really, I guess, famous throughout the centuries, is this little book called The Practice of the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence. And he basically writes a book of just about how everyday task is a mind shift and how you can serve God and other people. And so that can be really, really helpful. But yeah, I mean, that's just to put it out there. I don't reference too many books, but I mean, I'm sure there's an Audible version that you can listen to it in like a week, less than, or whatever. Just if that's something that you want to do, that's out there. Hopefully this podcast was helpful for you. I know that there was another part of the question, an additional question of how do we grieve, which I think that reserves a podcast in itself.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, at the end of the day, like, do your discerning and surround yourself with a community that you can trust, that can invest in you, that has intentional relationships. Like Jordan's saying, like, CrossFit has a culture to where you can really physically, if you want to help build back up to be able to support serving people physically, it's a great place to do that, and also foster relationships with people. If you are, we're also, this is a shameless plug in for life groups. It's going to be an opportunity for us to share life together, which is going to be made up of people who are like, yeah, let's focus on these friendships and support one another. So get plugged in, like step out, try a couple things, and see how God works.
Yeah. And come find us. You know, I think this podcast is just our ability to be able to get information out to people in a more broad sense.
Yep.
And it allows us to be able to talk through things that we normally wouldn't be able to do on any given day. But I think that for anybody locally or that are, as a part of this community, or looking to join, like, feel free to come find any one of us, like, to further continue the conversation or to, you know, maybe reach out to some people, you know, that we're putting ourselves in this position for this reason. We're not putting a wall. This podcast isn't a wall. It's an open door,
mm-hmm.
you know, to build relationships. Yep. So I think we ourselves want to make sure that we live that and we're not just saying it into a microphone,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah. I think all too often people love listening to podcasts. If there's a podcast that's kind of the end all be all where the relationship ends at that podcast, I don't think it's working to its full potential. And that's, I think, the one thing that's most important to us is this is just, you know, us introducing ourselves to you guys and, you know, hopefully giving you the confidence to come up and talk to you. It's us exposing ourselves to the point to show you that, you know, we're real people, the good and the bad, you know, we're willing to share it all. And I hope that you feel comfortable with us now, but, you know, as things go, you're able to continue to, you know, form a relationship with us over this podcast, but most importantly, you know, connecting with us in person or through email, whatever it may be. We want to become closer to each and every one of you and form a closer relationship so that, you know, basically, you know, we're serving each other in that respect. And, you know, I think that pretty much sums up
mm-hmm.
kind of this conversation. And, you know, as always, I know all too often, you know, people say, I love you. And it's probably the most misused word but I think I can speak for all of us when I say that we truly, completely, we love each and every one of you. And, you know, if you come away with one thing, hopefully you're coming out of this knowing that you're not alone and you are loved by us, by the people surrounding you, and most of all, you're loved by God. We hope that you love this podcast and keep your questions coming, and we will see you next week.
Bye, y'all.
See ya.